Now, could I hear another favourite if you're wanting? If anybody's got a favourite? Not that I'm wanting to prolong a meeting or anything, but 250, I like, right? I'd like to welcome you all the night to our gospel service, and a special welcome to Paul Innes, who's with us tonight. Thank you, Paul, for coming. I did give him the option of standing here straight away, but he wanted to introduce a couple of hymns first and then hand over to him. So I'll try and do it as soon as possible. just a little word of scripture. Psalm 32, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. And later on in that psalm, the Holy Spirit says, and this is something we could not take to heart as a promise, the Lord says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. It's a wonderful promise for every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've got a wonderful Saviour in Jesus, and that's a song we're going to sing just now. I don't think it's in the hymn book, but it's in the overhead. What a wonderful Saviour is Jesus. Excellent. That's it, that's spot on. Aye, we're alright. Now, it doesn't deal with flat batteries. We need to be charged up, of course, don't we, Ken? And we sung it in Sunday school, actually, the day Jordan put it on, read your Bible, pray every day with Super Mario. Ken, Super Mario's little, when he doesn't pray and he doesn't read his Bible. And then he increases, of course, when he does. And we need the Lord's word. And we need the Lord's strength. So let's pray together. We need your strength, Lord. We thank you that that is expressed in an admission of our weakness. And yet you are the all-sufficient God. You are the only Savior. You are a wonderful Savior. And Jesus, our Lord. We thank you for the name of Jesus. We thank you that there is power in the name of Jesus. We thank you that you are a God who is not independent of your creation. You made us in your own image. We thank you for the purpose that you have for us and the plans that you have. We thank you for your promise that you will help us, you will make us wise, you will instruct us and watch over us in the way that we should go. And we pray for this from day to day. We thank you for Paul. It's with us tonight, and we pray your blessing upon him and Julie and his family. We pray you would order their steps, Lord. And that's our prayer for each one of us here, those who kind of get out tonight, and every believer right across our community, Lord, and country, that you would order our steps, Lord, that these are perilous days and a lot of woes. Only thing goes, kind of thing new. But Lord, we pray that we would be brave, Lord, and courageous in the proclamation of the gospel, and nae hide our lights under a cover or a bushel or whatever. But that we would do the works that you've prepared in advance for us to do, Lord. We seek your will. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, Lord, we give you our thanks, Lord. We pray for each other. We pray you would speak into every situation, every heart, Lord, and everything that we're going through, Lord. We give it over to yourself. We pray your hand upon Paul tonight as he ministers to you, Lord, and may he receive a blessing as well as ourselves tonight as we listen to you, Lord. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we've got two together this time. Jesus, what a beautiful name, and King of Kings, Majesty. Let's start to sing. Now, thanks to Alma for producing the bulletin, and do get a copy of the bulletin at the door there if you haven't already got one. It outlines everything that's going on. This week, well, tomorrow, get coffee and mayors from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. The children's meeting's at 6:30. By the way, the internet's still not working in the church, Christine, so just in case you was wanting to use it in morning's night, I did report it on Monday night, but they did say 4 working days, but you can't feel like, can just, you know, Alma was getting my hair horror story about BT and that, down the road, and work Christmas. I mean, imagine they having a connection over Christmas and that, a nightmare. But there you go. I mean, we want it to be connected, don't we? Big time. Oh, right. And the Lord's saying it does it for us. Praise the Lord for that. So, if there's any downloads, it'll need to be down up the road first and down offline. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for online downloads. Okay, a children's meeting at 6:30 tomorrow night. There's a prayer meeting for a faith mission, and at 7:30 in Jim and Margaret's house in Cairnbolg. Wednesday night, Noel McClintock will be with us again for the midweek meeting. He's been very good this past few weeks on Elijah, so if you can get out, we'll be upstairs in the upstairs room on Wednesday night. Anniversary weekend, next weekend, Graham Mayer's going to be with us with the singers Derek Carroll and Catherine Matthew and the ladies trio as well. It was with us last year. They'll be singing. The kind of morning is on a Sunday morning, so there'll be no singing on Sunday morning, apart for your singing, of course. But it'll be Saturday night at 7 p.m. and then Sunday morning Graham will be with us, and Sunday night at 6 o'clock Derek and the trio will be with us next Sunday night as well as a Saturday night, so look forward to that. So do get a copy of the rota, please, if you can. Now, just before we sing our next hymn, and then we'll hand over to Paul, very important announcement that Isabel reminded me about, and Elaine even mentioned about getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to see this blood moon that you wouldn't see for another 10 years. So set your alarms. Now, don't blame me if there's clouds and stuff, and you can't see it, can? But apparently you'll see even the vestiges of it at 7:45 in the morning. So I'll have a look out for it when I'm walking down the road, Isabel. I mean, there's amazing stories about blood moons and stuff, how they tie up with some things that happen in Israel and stuff like that. It's fascinating, really. I mean, their whole creation's fascinating, really, but there's a once-in-10-year opportunity. I mean, there's Nino's got a morning, let alone 10 years' time, is there, Ken? So we might never see it again, unless it's in the new creation. And again, if it like it'll be, you know, but praise the Lord anyway. So if you get up, I'll get up. We can agree. Okay, won't I bother. Won't I bother, Isabel. But, you know, if only 4 o'clock. Is it 4 o'clock, by the way? Is it 4:15? 4 o'clock. 2 o'clock to 8 o'clock, okay. Aye. Well, only a year it's near late bedders. 2 o'clock isn't soon too bad, Ken, but and then you can gunk your bed. Never mind. Praise the Lord anyway. Let's sing before Paul comes up. It's I'd Rather Have Jesus at 7, 8, 9 in the book.
My own, hear me? Aye. There you are. Enough of online talk. I thought I was in an iChurch. Norman's full of downloads and charges and connections and they're fine for you on the internet though. Burns gonna cope. Neither do I. Get off a dependent, do it. Great to be here. Great to come back and kind of share the word and maybe a bit of an update with you this evening. In May this year, at the AOG conference, I was ordained as a minister, would you believe? Absolutely nuts. Getting up and getting a ticket, somebody saying, we trust this guy to be a minister of the gospel. A lot of pressure, a lot of responsibility. But with the work that we were doing in the prison with the chaplaincy team, the chaplaincy advisors that are higher above local kind of level, they said that you would need to be ordained and have the rest of it, and that kind of took me on a bit of a journey, studying again. Well, studying, never really studied first time round, but studying and kind of really, really challenging stuff. I'm not silly, but I'm not academic. Do you get what I mean? Like, again, I'll speak to you all day, but writing stuff, doing and putting things into words isn't really my gift. So that was kind of May this year. The Reverend I Am Dolly was ordained. but again, absolutely awesome, kind of great testimony to the grace of God. Again, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 27 says that God chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and that is so, so true, especially in my case. Like, I guess I'm just maybe daft enough and silly enough to go places that other people maybe wouldn't it? But absolutely brilliant to be on that sort of accreditation journey, and sometimes, I'll share one story. Every summer, I went away for like a week. It was part of your training. You were doing the Martyrsea Bible College. Spent a week there, and I was teaching from morning till night, and you would go away and process what you'd been taught and write things down and all that sort of stuff. So at the beginning of the week-long conference, the dude said for the front, he said, listen, throughout this week, he says, don't stick to familiar. Don't stick to those that you know. Hey, lunch. Hey, your evening meal with people that you've never met. We like to spend time with worrying folk, do we? And I thought, I'm getting diet. So the first lunchtime I sits down, this guy sits down, Alan, badge on. Badges. I usually leave my badge. See, the first night you take it off and look at it in the morning, I think, But Alan sat down beside me, started to chat to him. I says, your name's Alan, where are you from, Alan? He said, oh, Sunderland. I said, oh, very good, aye. Been to Sunderland. And what was that? I said, I see you've got a wedding ring on. Always watch him. I said, I see you've got a wedding ring on. You're married. I says, one of the children. I've got a daughter, she's four. I said, oh, my daughter's four, which she was at the time. I said, it's a great age, isn't it? It is, he says. He said, I want to grab a drink. He said, I want to get a cup of tea. He said, would you like a cup of tea? I said, no, I'm okay. I want to get his tea, I shift the table. I can't have a deal with this. But an incredible journey of teaching and all that sort of stuff. Things at the Solid Rock just knew are kind of changing. What we found, there's no kind of the same people on the go. We were sent to Norman just before the meeting started. Again, some days we'll open a Solid Rock and just see one or two would come in maybe for a wee while. Sit with my computer open, listening to music, maybe, again, do a Bible study myself. It's great, but it's the sort of thing I'm getting paid for, is it really? So we'll get be more kind of community-based. We're looking at kind of closing things down at the Solid Rock over the next couple of months, which in one case is really, really sad, because the location is absolutely ideal for the work that we've done over the past 20 years. Mad that it's been open for that long. But I guess our time's up. We've served the community there for 20 years. Myself and Ben had a meeting, decided that was really start to wind things down, which, as I say, was really sad. I spent half of December thinking, man, I failed. But it's a new season. It's a new chapter. I'm going to carry on doing the same sort of work, maybe repurpose and rejig things a little bit, maybe rename the solid rock. But looking to carry on the same sort of ministry. Maybe not so much addict and alcoholic based, but more people based. Because why get into bother? Why need support, do we? We do, every one of us. We can be cracking on and life jumps up. Something happens that we think needs somebody to speak to. Carry on with the prison stuff. Coming away from the solid rock will allow us to focus on that a bit more. Just knew I'm in the prison a day a week, 6 hours a week as part of the chaplaincy team in there. And I absolutely love it. I love the prison stuff. There's a desperation in the people that are in the prison that isn't in the people that are in the community that we look to reach out to and look to help. We say that it's a gift, the gift of desperation. When somebody's desperate, you can reach them. When somebody's desperate, you can give them hope. And I guess that's the call of God on our ministry. Very, very sad thing happened in the summer. There was a family that we'd been working with. The mom, she was in the prison a lot for the past 10 years. So she was released from prison on drugs, her and then her son and her daughter, the three of them, all addicts. The mom came to me and said, "You need to help my bairns," and I said, "I'll try." The boy, the son, he died on overdose. I went round to see her and chatted with her and did the funeral. 2 weeks after we buried the son, the daughter died. Then 2 months after that, the mum died. Our three funerals within that short space of time. People say that the drug situation in the Brock is getting better. I would beg to differ. I would say it's changed. It's different to what it was. You've seen groups of addicts sort of all over the Brock. You'd have driven past a phone box or some sort of prominent place and you'd have saw a group of people. It's changed. Are happening in houses and in cars and different things. I spent some time with the granny. I said to her, I said, "How do you cope?" I said, "You seem so strong." She said, "Paul, strong is my only option." So very, very sad. But we're able to share hope. The mother, the son and daughter that had died, came along to the women's service in the prison. We do the women's service in the prison every Monday at 2 o'clock. It's a very, very loud service. We can have 40 men on a Sunday morning and then have 6 women on a Monday. The 6 women are higher maintenance than the 40 men. Please, then I shoot my doon here. That is my observation. She used to come along and she used to say, "Dolly, Dolly, do you remember this song?" And she would start to sing songs for Sunday school and different things. We'd have a great time, hearing a laugh and a buzz. She said, "I went along to the Bethesda Church," she said, "when it was across for the college." She said, "We used to go to the hospital singing," she said, "and we'd wear a little hat and go to the hospital just delighted with life." Great that you carried on what you learned at Sunday school through our life. was able to stand at her funeral and say that she had hope in God. The past wee while I've been doing hospital visits as well, kind of once a fortnight or once every 3 weeks, the amount of people that we've kind of supported as the solid rock for the past few years that I'm now in hospital. One guy just got his leg off. He said, "How do I go on? How do I go on? How do I do life?" And I got the answers. Yeah, encourage him. Pray for him. Say, life doesn't have to be this way. John 4, verse 37 says this. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "You know the saying, one plants and another harvests. The process of sowing and reaping is one that we're very aware of." In this portion of scripture, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, trying to simplify things for them. Isn't it great that Jesus tried to simplify things for his people? I, for one, am very, very glad that Jesus made things quite simple. We the outreach in Aberdeen with the working girls, Julie heads that up. The truck that we were using was sold. I was gutted. I said to Julie, "What happens now?" Go through, we are minibus, of course, but again, for a while, we're thinking nothing's really happening. Women are coming on, we're feeding them, we're giving them clothes, all that sort of stuff, gloves, and kind of, I would love to see them change. I would love to see breakthrough in their lives. In the prison, it's the same sort of people group as we see on a Thursday night, the same women kind of come out and in the prison, which is handy for us because Julie and the team are able to come in and see the women in the prison. And they're delighted with a visitor, so they'll come and they'll chat and they'll hey, a biscuit or whatever. But through in Aberdeen on outreach, sometimes we don't see women, the same person, like for 3-4 weeks, maybe a couple of months. One Monday service, there was 4 women for the outreach came along to church. And usually we would sing like the song, the 2 songs every service in the prison. And usually it's played to a hard drive, like a backing track, which is an absolute nightmare for me that can't sing very well. I decided to switch things up this Monday and started like showing YouTube videos with the lyrics on screen, which was a lot better because the hard drive, that would kind of play up a bit and it would stop, and then you're in dilemma. Do I carry on singing? Does people get to sing with me? Am I going to sing alone? And all that sort of stuff. But I picked 2 songs that Monday. One was Reckless Love, and the second theme was Who You Say I Am by Hillsong. As I shared the word that afternoon, there was a hush in the room, which never happens, as I say, when you've got any number of women in our chapel. But during the second song, YouTube let me down. It started to buffer. See the wheel in the middle, Norman, when BT's na doing as it should? Starts to buffer. So as I said, dilemma. The song cut out for 5-10 seconds. And all you could hear was these 14 women that were in the chapel belting out truth, singing these words or their lives. These were the words. Who the sun sets free, to be careful, I read it and they sing it because I can't sing. Who the sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. When you consider what the world, what people would say about these women, for them to be declaring what God says about them. No, hey, I'm not saying they're all sort of saved and it's great, but it's a start to hear them singing these words. One man sows, one man reaps, another. No, so why ruin our normal? We're sowing and reaping. Bear-wise, we can reap and sow and reap. But we never know the truth that we're putting in to people. That's the point that I'm trying to make. Absolutely incredible to hear these women. And the prison just knew 490 of the Northeast's finest men and women, every one of them for the Aberdeen and Aberdeenshire area. Very complex needs, some of them. But again, as I say, an outstanding ministry. Every Monday, we do the rounds. Everybody that's on kind of suicide watch, I could go for maybe one person to 8 to 9 to 10, depending on who's in. But to be able to sit down on a bed next to these people and offer them hope is absolutely incredible. I said to Norman again before the service started, you've got nothing else to offer them. These men and women that are on suicide watch at the very end of their tether. The battle is very, very real. And there's some great laughs in the prison as well. The place is full of banter. And like doing the rounds, I enjoy just going through the sections, just sitting down beside the guys, it's happening, getting a chat, and I always kind of keep my eye on the news and if it's happening in the world to hear a talking point. Sometimes we'll sit down and we'll say, aye, aye, Paul, go on, if I get a Bible, will you tell us a story of the Bible? You tell us a story of the Bible? Maybe after, and then go on, okay. And then share a story. One of these men and women have came through Sunday school. They've been to church at some point in their life. I believe in God. I always say to them, it's one thing to believe, it's another to follow. You follow somebody, you get to be like them, do you? You copy what they do. So that's kind of how things look ministry-wise just now. Pray for us as we transition and kind of sort the bits and bobs out as we kind of look to kind of be more involved in the community. I'd like to share for the time that we've got left tonight for John chapter 8, verse 1 to 11. A well-known story, the story of the woman caught in adultery. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning, he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer. So he stood up again and said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. A very interesting and well-known account here. One of my favorite miracles of Jesus, an account of compassion, of love, and ultimately forgiveness. Strange that chapter 8 would begin with Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives. I'd have thought this verse would have been at the end of the previous chapter, but I never inspired nor wrote the Bible, so who am I to say? The chapter before, the religious leaders are scheming and they're trying to think of reasons to arrest Jesus. Jesus has spent the night, as it says, at the Mount of Olives and comes back down to the temple to teach the people there. Let's imagine the scene. It's early in the morning. I'm not sure if it was blood moon o'clock, but it was early. I'll see if I can catch it 7:45 or maybe on Facebook if my internet's working. It was early in the morning. Jesus is in the temple. A crowd is gathered around him as he teaches the word of the Lord. It's a picture of peace. It's a picture of tranquility. But suddenly, the peace is shattered. The noise of an approaching crowd is heard. Angry male voices shouting. The sound of a struggle. With a trembling voice, this woman cries out for mercy. The teachers and the religious, teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees stack the woman, put her in front of the crowd. First thing we see here is that this woman is confronted. The religious leaders inform Jesus that she's been caught in the actual act of adultery. The very act of adultery, some versions say. They drag her in front of Jesus, trying to catch him out. The law of Moses says to stone her, but what do you say? They say to her, trying to back Jesus into a corner. It's widely thought that the religious leaders had kept her all night in anticipation of Jesus being in the temple in the morning. They were always trying to catch Jesus out. Sometimes like that, as we live our lives, do we? We're Christian witness. People can try and catch us out when we know that they know that we walk with the Lord. In the prison, some of the officers are absolutely brutal. One of them said, "Oh, I read your story in a book. Was it true that it was you started going to church because of a fish supper?" I said, "Well, aye, I suppose it is." I says, I was asked along to church and I had the promise of a fish supper at the end of the service if I came along. He said, "Pick me up on Sunday." He said, "I'm not interested in the nonsense for the hour, but the fish supper, I'll suffer an hour for a fish supper," he says. But people do. People try and catch a suit. Can you imagine the humiliation that this woman must have felt? Trembling, filled with fear, racked with guilt. In the Old Testament, it states very clearly that both the man and the woman caught in adultery should be stoned to death. But where was the man? Where was the man? The religious leaders and Pharisees were absolutely ruthless when it came to the laws of the Old Testament, trying to pass their behavior off as righteousness. But in this case, it's very, very shallow. There's absolutely no concern for the soul of this woman. She's being used as a pawn in a game. Jesus stoops down, starts writing on the ground, then the sand. But the crowd keep heckling him, demanding that he take action against the woman. Jesus says this, "Okay, the person who has never sinned should throw the first stone." And this statement, he totally disarms every one of them. They start to leave, the oldest first, maybe because they've been around a bit longer and maybe sinned a bit more, seen a blood moon or two. But we ourselves, we can be harsh at times, can't we? We've heard it said that we judge people because their sin is different from ours. So, so true. We need to follow the example of Jesus. I remember when the full-time chaplain in the prison, she said to me that we were starting a church service for the double protection prisoners, the worst kind of offenders in the prison. She said, are you okay with those type of people? Of course I am, I said. I'm a man of God. There's no prejudice in me. The first service we did, one of them came up and he's sharing scriptures with me. He's saying, oh, Paul, have you seen this? And da 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 da. And I'm thinking, I know what you're in for. How could you love Jesus if you're kind of no prejudice in me? I love God too much to judge anybody. Nonsense. It's a guy, Davey, the Northfield Abbey's got Davey or John, when we use him in illustration, that's his real name. But we did a Bible study on Zacchaeus. And one of the questions that we asked was, who do you think was more surprised at Jesus inviting himself to Zacchaeus' house? Do you think it was Zacchaeus or the crowd? Big Davey from Northfield put his hand up. He says, I've been a very bad man. I am very sorry for the crimes that I have committed. He said, I would think Zacchaeus got the biggest surprise. And I said, why would that be? He said, because people knew that Zacchaeus was a tax collector. They knew that he was a cheat. They would have heard that he was a cheat. But Zacchaeus knew every single person that he had ripped off. He said, he knew. He said, now I know how bad I've been. He said, if Jesus invited himself to my house, he said, I'd be absolutely perplexed. I said, great answer, Davey. And then after the service was finished, I went down to his cell and prayed with him and led him to the Lord. You'd be a guest in his house today, man. The prejudice in me. I'm not judgmental. I love Jesus far too much. But there's prejudice. And it says that sometimes we get a check and we think, ooh. We need to be very careful and the things that we say. I heard a great definition about gossip once, and it was this: hearing something you like about somebody you don't. It's good, isn't it? Oh, I like that now because I've not liked them. It's bad, isn't it? Proverbs 18, verse 21 says, the tongue can bring life or death. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Something that we can all be guilty of from time to time. Certainly I can and need to check myself from time to time. We need to encourage one another as believers in the Lord. I remember the pastor that I had when I was at the Teen Challenge School of Ministry 13, 14 years ago. Never forget it. He said, Paul, encouragement is the environment for change. We'll never change anybody by discouraging them, will we? We'll keep them doing. Encouragement changes people. It's the environment for change. Why do we struggle so much to receive encouragement at times? Is it a Northeast thing, maybe? People say something bad to us and we're like, okay. Somebody tries to encourage us and straight away we think, what do they want? It's true, is it? Bad. We should encourage one another. We should be open to receive and give encouragement. Second point, this woman is cleansed. The only person in this account who was qualified to throw a stone at this woman refused to. Jesus deals with the woman by means of mercy and grace and love and forgiveness. The religious leaders condemned her and were convinced that she deserved death. But Jesus thought she was worthy of his love. He saw a woman worth saving. He looks at the guilty woman and he says, woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she replied, then neither do I. Go and sin no more. This is salvation in its purest form. In his book, Jesus Is, Judah Smith writes this: Jesus was obsessed with showing mercy to those who least deserved it. He was passionate about giving hope to hopeless people. He was committed to showing grace to the worst of sinners. And if I'm honest, that includes me. And me. We serve a loving God that is never out to condemn us, that never looks to discourage us, but loves us, believes in us, cheers us on, champions us for the call that he has for us. The work that I do in the community here, the Broch, Peterhead, and the prison, I used to look on it as getting alcoholics sober, maybe getting drug addicts clean. But it's a lot more than that. It's about taking dead people back to life. Salvation. The people that last are the people that walk with God. This woman never got what she deserved. Does it sound familiar? It certainly does to me. It's absolutely radical. Another story, there was a guy that came along to our double protection service in the Davy, this time it was John. He came along every week. He was getting nearer his release date, and I said to him after the service, "John, you're very quiet. So you're not your usual self." He says, "I'm a bit fed up." He said, "You wouldn't come down and get a chat with me this afternoon?" I said, "Aye, no bother." He said, "Well, exercise goes out at 2 o'clock. That's good side for a walk down a bit." He says, "The guy that I'm locked up with, that I share a cell with, he always goes out and exercise. If you come down then, we'll get a cup of tea and a biscuit." "No problem." Took my own cup, just to watch. to see John. I said, "John, it's a story." He said, "My brother has died." He said, "The family didn't want me at the funeral because of the crime that I've committed." And I said, "Was your brother a church guy, John?" He said, "He was." He said, "We were both saved in the Salvation Army growing up," he says, "doing in Glasgow." And he said, "My brother played some instrument," he says, "and he would have done the reading and stuff like that, very, very much involved." I said, "Well, you're saved as well, John." I said, "You'll see him in glory, you'll see him in heaven." He said, "Paul, I've not gone to heaven." I said, "Really, John?" He said, "No." He said, I do not deserve heaven." I said, "You getting something, John?" "Neither do I." I said, "But I'm gone, and I'll see you and your brother there." What is he doing? He heard his tears bouncing off the concrete ground. It's nae heated too hot. Can people say, "Oh, they've got underfloor heating at prison"? Great. Cheaper than them, normal heating. Fuck, love that, great. But being able to say to John that he was forgiven, I had prayed with him in the jail. This was a man that was repentant. This was a man that was sorry. We need to walk in freedom. We need to walk in hope. I remember the night that I gave my life to the Lord. January the 28th, 2005, doing the Solid Rock, the table that kind of looks through the big window onto the Broadgate. And what an incredible journey it's been since then. It's more than 14 years ago. Mad. Have I made mistakes? Yes. Have I struggled? Absolutely. Have I doubted? Sometimes, if I'm being honest. Have I ever regretted it? Absolutely not. There's a cleansing that takes place when we give our lives to the Lord. We're forgiven and set free from our past. My last and final point, the woman was completed. Jesus' last words to this woman are this: "Go and sin no more." A very interesting statement from Jesus. He's not saying that she's innocent and he's acquitting her. And saying "go and sin no more," he's saying that although he's in no doubt that she is guilty of adultery, he is granting her pardon. Jesus here condemns the sin, but not the sinner. We're all very quick, aren't we, to quote John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only son." But here we see John 3:17 in action. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Go and sin no more, he says to the woman. Go and live a new life. Go into a new season. Many people live in sin and wonder why their lives are a mess. They wonder why they're maybe near hearing from God when they don't open their Bible. But this woman was able to walk in the freedom and forgiveness that Jesus offered her. We are no different. The word of the Lord unto us would be the same. Go and sin no more. Do we have sin in our lives that we maybe willingly give into? It's a battle. We must fight our flesh. Jesus speaking to his disciples and telling them to watch and pray and to keep falling asleep. He says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Why is it when we go to do anything spiritual, there's always a pull? Is there? There's always a better idea. There's always something that might seem more fun. Seeing me in the kitchen, I'm like, oh, 10 minutes of my Bible, and then I look at my phone and my Bible. And it's a battle. 10 minutes on Facebook or 10 minutes in the Word. I can't, if it's get a demon, more good, so why do I pick up my phone? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. There's a battle raging around us. Do we need maybe to forgive ourselves the things that we've done in the past? Do we carry pains or hurts maybe? I remember when I was on the Teen Challenge program, there was a woman, she worked in the kitchen. Mrs. A, classic granny figure. Fantastic cook. She kind of made all the meals and looked after all the boys and all. She was the best. Loads of great counselors, but she would have been the best counselor in the place. Incredible woman, little Welsh woman. And I remember saying to my Paul, you haven't been yourself this week. I used to peel the tatties. I wasn't a cook or a chef. I could peel a tatty pretty quick. She said, Paul, you haven't been yourself this week. Are you okay? I said, I'm a bit fed up. I've been on the program maybe 3 months. Being a cup of tea, sat down in the dining room, and she said, Paul, you know that you're forgiven. And I said, aye, I get it. I said, you're encouraged to sort of make amends with your family and different things. So I phoned him, I'd been in 6 weeks, spoke to Mom, I'm really, really sorry for everything I've done, da-da-da-da-da. Mom said, listen, the biggest apology you can give us is never touching drugs again. Incredible attitude for Mom. I said, and I know that I'm forgiven by God through Jesus on the cross. And she said, but you can't forgive yourself. I said, that's it. She says, Paul, if you're not willing to forgive yourself, the cross meant absolutely nothing. Put my sledgehammer. Took me about a week to process it. It set me free. We're forgiven. We're set free. We can walk in the freedom of the price that was paid. When this woman met Jesus, her life changed forever. Her sin was forgiven. Her guilt was removed. Her fear was turned to peace. What appeared to be a hopeless case suddenly became a time of forgiveness, salvation, and joy. John Ortberg writes in his book, Who Is This Man? A great book if you read books. Just about the person of Jesus. Fantastic. He wrote this. Jesus' impact was greater 100 years after his death than during his life. It was greater still after 500 years. After 1,000 years, his legacy laid the foundation for much of Europe. After 2,000 years, he has more followers in more places than ever. Jesus is the man that won't go away. We've sung about him tonight. We've heard about him. Why, all these years on, there's power in the name of Jesus. William Booth says this: love spoken can be easily turned away, but love demonstrated will last a lifetime. We can tell people how much we love them, but when we show it, when we act on it, when we put legs on it, that's when the magic happens. This woman was confronted, she was cleansed, and she was completed. Go on to sing our final hymn of the evening. You've listened very well. You've all looked interested. Thank you for that, if you were or no. Mark saw the difference. You sing number 688, When Peace Like a River.
With my soul.
Lord, we thank you for our meeting together, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for your presence, Lord, with us. Lord, we declare, Lord, this evening that there is none like you. Lord, we thank you for forgiveness. We thank you for your love. Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, Lord. Lord, we pray, Lord, as we leave this place, that you will continue, God, with us. Lord, as we go our separate ways. Lord, we don't know what the week holds, but you do, God. And I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen us, that you would empower us, Lord, as we go about our daily business. Lord, that you would use us as your witnesses, Lord, in these dark days. Lord, I pray, God, that you would part us with your richest blessing. Lord, we pray in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.